So let's look at some common symbols. Remember that no matter where you live in the world, a lot of these symbols are the same, but also know that depending on where you live, you will see different dreams and different themes recurring in that specific country or that specific continent, that specific area, sometimes the specific city, depending on what's going on politically and so forth. When you're doing an international ministry and you are speaking to the dreams of people in particular countries, you would want to know where they live because at the time it can have meaning. And so you would be taking their dream symbols into the context of their personal impressions of their culture and also what's going on as far as maybe prophetically in their area. Let's just go to the generalizations because people all over the world are going to have the same symbols no matter where they live. The first one, probably the most popular next to, say, marriage or relationship, is your house. So often you're going to see yourself in a house, and your house has to do with your personal life, your circumstances. Sometimes it has to do with the church. Your rooms in a house is just really indicating a specific area of your life. So your bedroom would be your family, your intimacy, your closeness, sometimes your closeness with God, closeness with your family members. Your basement would be your foundation. The attic would be a place that you don't visit very much, so it could be where you store things away for another time. As far as your thoughts about things, where you compartmentalize things, or things get a bit cobwebby because there's not enough activity there, or it could be a place of hiding away. Another room in the house could be the bathroom. That would be a place that relates to your spiritual purification, how you're getting clean, the circumstances that are affecting you as you're getting clean. So things that happen in the bathroom are really telling you about whatever is happening in there, how it relates to your cleansing process, your spiritual cleansing. So of course, you're going to the bathroom. That is something you're getting released from you. That could be representing deliverance. If you have an example of you're going to the bathroom in a place that's public where people can see you, you're getting delivered from something, or you're learning something, or you're coming out of something, you're getting cleansed of something where other people can see you. So it's going to be public knowledge that you have healed this or that you have learned this thing. So it's where you're going to the bathroom, how you're feeling about it. Sometimes you'll have a dream of a certain kind of toilet. Maybe it'll be a new technology, or maybe it'll be a really old-fashioned thing, or maybe it'll be a hole in the ground, or maybe it'll be an inappropriate place, like tucked behind a car on the road, you know, as you pull over. So all these things are telling you the context of what the message God wants to tell you about how you're learning this thing, or how you're purging this thing from your life. And a lot of these types of dreams are God showing you also that he is doing it. So something is leaving you. And it could even be at your old childhood home. Something's leaving you as it relates to an old feeling, an old memory, an old hurt, an old wound. So you're doing it at your childhood home. It could even be you're cleaning a bathroom. So maybe you're not going to the bathroom. Maybe you're cleaning a bathroom in your house, in someone else's house, in your old childhood house. That would be related to a concern for the welfare of people who are using that bathroom. It's a responsibility to keep that clean. It's a desire to keep that clean. So it's making deliverance easier for other people, seeing to it that that responsibility is followed through with. Sometimes that will relate to who is using that bathroom, that particular bathroom that you're in. Not being able to find a bathroom is having trouble getting over a certain issue. So those are some examples. I hope that's helpful as far as the context of the bathroom. It's a place of privacy. It should be a place of privacy. If other people are in there, you're feeling like it's dirty, you want to make sure that you're watching out for who's around you and what kind of friends you're allowing near you, and also who is trying to break boundaries with you and come into your places that you should have a door, you should have a lock, you should have a place of privacy where you can close a door if you want to, and that's appropriate to do that in a time of cleansing. So if someone's breaking in or looking in or peeking in, there could be some issues with shame, someone trying to shame you, or you feeling peered at. It could be in a childhood issue of that wanting to be healed. That's why when I do counseling, God brought me to do dream interpretation with counseling, because there's often a really good healing opportunity when a dream comes up and it's exposing something that God wants to heal and he wants to bring some understanding to the person of why this is coming up now and who was involved in the dream and where this was. It's telling the story. So he's always telling a story that gives us understanding, the understanding we've always wanted. Sometimes we just have this mystery. So he's giving the resolution and the final understanding of these things. And that's the beautiful thing about dream interpretation. I think we're missing out on, we don't really see it with counseling. We don't see it with Christian counseling. And it's a shame because people are dreamers and you really have to be walking the walk with Christ in line with the word of God to be responsibly speaking into other people's dreams. Again, it's just like any other type of ministry. It's a huge responsibility. The responsibility of making sure this person hears God, knows God, gets closer to God through this dream, and guiding them in that direction, pointing to God for this. So going back to the household, dreams of the kitchen, preparing food, the dining room. So the kitchen and dining room are going to be preparing up things. It's either God's readying you, he's preparing you for something. So you're preparing food, but food also has to do with sharing the gospel. It has to do with ministry, but it could also have to do with raising children. It could have to do with being the kind of person that just is just giving, and you're getting prepared for that. You're getting strengthened for that, or you are learning how to do that. And then the dining room is the place of serving. So it's community, it's fellowship, it's maybe that deeper inner circle in ways, and it's the invitation of other people around your table. So that's a sign of a very close, intimate place, almost next to the bedroom, but more with the people in your life that don't live in the household, that aren't family. Again, it could be ministry-based. So those people around the table would be more of a close inner circle. And if you've got the big banquet, then you've got the welcoming of the loving of the neighborly love, the agape love that you have, the Christ love that you have for many people, and feeding the word of God to many people. Getting over to the living room, that's the place of fun, relaxation, community, but sometimes it's sloth and laziness. It just depends on where you are with that. If the TV's on and you're just eating and eating and eating, it could show you, it could be giving you a picture of what God is wanting to bring you some attention to. If you are sitting on a couch with another person and you're speaking to each other and you're sharing things and maybe you're getting certain revelations in the dream about what it is you're talking about or what the scene is or who walks in and what's happening and what you notice in the room, those symbols are going to be helpful to tell you that story. So walls, hallways, this is going to be your transition from one room to another, one aspect of your life to another. If you have many rooms and you have empty rooms, it could be God wants to expand a new part of your personality. He wants to awaken something. There's something that he has set for you that is not yet ready to go. You could be painting a room and preparing it for something new that's coming. You could find an animal in a certain room or some person squatting in a certain room. So you could have evil squatters in your house. You could have a spiritual squatter where someone's sitting there that's not supposed to be there. You could have a foreigner in your house, somebody that doesn't belong there. You could have someone walking into your house when they're not supposed to. This is someone, again, it's like the bathroom thing, someone walking into your life. How did they, you have to have a key to get into my house. How did you get into my house? How do you confront them? How do you speak to them? Who are they and what do they represent? Are they being sly? Are they being coy? Are they being brutish? Are they being confrontational? Are they stealing things? Are they bringing things? Are they giving you gifts that you don't want? So all kinds of things that can happen in dreams. God, tell me what these symbols mean. Lead me to biblically what these symbols mean and help me to understand, again, the parable of what I'm being told here. Sometimes dreams are warning you about the future. And sometimes it's just a counsel in the moment of this is happening right now and I just want to comfort you. I just want you to know I see you. So sometimes it's not a resolution. It's something you have to go through and God knows it and you just have to go through it. But he's saying, I see you and I know this is hard. You're going to get through it. It's real tenderness. You can't necessarily know if my dream is of resolution of the past, of the future, or a current situation that God's comforting me in until you get a little bit of revelation. Sometimes you're going to know very easily. This helps us to get closer to God because it reminds us how different it is to not rely on our logic and intelligence and intellect and books and people's opinions. There are so many talking voices out there that are ministering to you about dreams. And you have to ask yourself, is this really helping me? Is going off to this conference, is that bringing me closer to God? Or would God prefer me to maybe donate that money to what I was going to use for the conference and the travel? Would God want me to donate that to a really humble, genuine ministry, stay home and read my Bible and get revelation on my dreams? A lot of dream teachers out there are bringing people away from that intimacy with God, and they're becoming that God. So there's that in all over the world in any type of ministry. It's always going to be an issue, but just ask yourself as you're learning to interpret dreams, how much am I getting fired up about this to go buy all these different things and just the big names and the first one that pops up when you do a search? And maybe we could just ask ourselves, just because these people pop up doesn't mean necessarily that they are called by God to be ministering to us in this realm of dream interpretation. I like to keep myself small. I like to keep the focus on God and the focus on the Word, and to make sure that everyone I work with, even if they're hearing the hard thing, even if it's more uncomfortable, that we're just always coming back to, have you read the Bible first? Have you asked God first? Have you prayed about this a while? Because that's the way that God can reach you more quickly, and you're going to see it in your dreams. Dreaming of teeth, in the Songs of Solomon, the teeth are compared to rows of sheep. The upper teeth would be the leaders in the church, and the lower teeth would be ones that are the congregation in the church, and they work together and they have their individual functions. And then so each type of tooth has different functions in the church. So the wisdom teeth in the back would be the prophets, the ones that are hidden that nobody really sees, but they have the wisdom. It's interesting too, because sometimes those get extracted. And that's exactly what happens with prophets in the church. A lot of churches don't like the truth, so if a prophet is telling the truth, they're extracting that wisdom tooth. Sometimes these front tooth are the heads of the ministry. The top front teeth would be the pastors, maybe the leadership in the church, and they do the first cutting of the food. So as soon as you come in, maybe the lower teeth in the front would be the ones that welcome the new people coming into the church. So when you're chewing food, you cut the food with the front teeth first. That's your introduction and the first faces that you see when you enter the church. And then going back, you have different responsibilities of people that are serving. So these are sheep. These are the body of Christ. So for you, your teeth would be symbols of people or people in the church or your roles in the church. So again, you would have to pray to God for the mystery on teeth. And this is why so many people have teeth dreams, I think, because there is so much revelation related to teeth. This is a way that God encourages his revelation. When he gives you a revelation, you will see it in the dream functioning when you listen to it and you abide in it. So for example, he gave me a revelation about praying about the blood of Jesus. A lot of people say, plead the blood, apply the blood. We have so many scriptures from the beginning of the Bible until the end that there's the body and the blood. And the blood is shed for as a sacrifice. And so in Revelation 12:11, we overcome the Antichrist with the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. When we go to the mercy seat, the blood was spilled over the mercy seat. Christ's blood was spilled over the mercy seat. It's the place that we have access to only because Christ died, because in the Old Testament, there was the spilling of blood on the mercy seat that only the priest could do in the Holy of Holies. It was not accessible. What we have now is we all have access to that blood. So the mercy seat, being able to go to it and then being able to actually make contact. It's our place of contact. So we go there for mercy, and God's mercies are new every morning. So we make contact with that blood, and we can actually then apply it into our life. His blood is life. His blood is our salvation, our testament to overcoming the Antichrist. In the dream, there was the dentist, and a man that was named the Blood was telling this dentist, you have to make sure you absolutely get this right. Don't fail her. So it was showing me that prayer was helping to function, to bring this help to me in a way that I didn't even know that I needed help. And it was this mystery of what is God fixing here that I didn't even know was needing fixing, but he was already doing it because I had prayed, because he gave me a prayer to pray and I prayed it. So I added that to the prayer points on my website, by the way, and would really suggest you go through all of them, even though it's about 35 pages of prayers and it takes a while. And it will change your dreams and it will change your faith walk. Okay, so let's go to, if you're frozen, you're unable to move, you're unable to cry out the name of Jesus, this would be a definite witchcraft dream that you would want to go about deliverance. You would want to go about repenting for family iniquity. And again, those prayer points that I just mentioned, you'd want to go through those and just breaking any agreements and oaths in the family related to witchcraft. When you cannot speak the word of Jesus and you are Christian, that is the Antichrist spirit. And somehow somebody did a deal and did a handshake and did an oath. So somehow that oath has not been completely broken. So even though you're Christian, we have to break the oaths. A lot of times it's about understanding what our ancestors did and what the sin was, because God wants a clean bride. So we have to know what we did and that it was wrong. His people have to understand what the sins were. This is why I had so much overcoming to do. When we know from God's heart how badly it hurt him and what a horrible thing it was, some of these things that our family did and that we did, if we don't see it that way yet, he wants us to. He clearly wants us to. That's why he's made it this way, for us to seek out the truth. So dreams are helping reveal to us the truth of the abomination. We've got to come out of denial. So a next one is being chased. You have an enemy. It could be a human enemy. It could be a spiritual enemy. If you are around a lot of people, keep your eyes open for a person in business or someone that you interact with that is maybe not physically going to come after you. Maybe they will, but it could be you have had childhood predators and it is healing something about being pursued that's coming back up in your life. So you could have some fear about that. A similar character in your life that's reminding you of that person. You might be bringing up some of that trauma to show you that something did happen and that you're feeling that pursuit, it might happen again. So he wants you to seek him to heal that, to ask for revelation on that. And he will take it from you. He will heal that. So if we're in the intellect, we just go, I know, and we go on with life. So he wants to reveal, get us deep revelation, and that will change our behavior and it will cause us to take action, go forth and repent and so forth. Dreams of taking a test. Taking a test can mean if you're taking an old test in an old classroom, something's trying to keep you backwards and stuck where you can't finish the test and you have to keep taking the same test. Of course, that's a spirit of backwardness. You need deliverance from that. You need to be praying against that. If you're taking a fresh test, if you're taking a new test, a qualifying test that you know will get you to another level, that means you have an opportunity to do something and to show God that you are prepared for this next level. So this is going to be more spiritual testing. This is, God does say in his word that he does test us. He wants to know, can you handle this? Do you know me? Can I trust you by giving you more? And it could be trusting us with money. It could be where he wants to advance us financially, but will we be responsible with the kingdom finances? And so the type of test is going to tell us, how long is the test taking? Are we afraid? Are we getting help? Are we cheating? Are we taking a test in a certain room that we like or we don't like? Is there a teacher in the class watching us as we're taking the test? Is the test over the phone? Is it a video? Is it written? There's this conversation that God wants to have with us. Prophecy is going to be flooding in this time. And as times change and get darker, it's going to be you that are getting this information and you're going to be able to be responsible with it because you've learned all these things and that you know the word. You dream about someone dying. This is another one. It's usually about something important to you dying or whatever it is related to that person. So we're assuming that person isn't already dead. Of course, you want to pray for their safety and make sure that they are protected and that they will live to a long age. And beyond that, you could just look at it as, is this something in my life that's very precious that's dying? Or if it's a person that you don't like, maybe there's something that person is going to be leaving your life or they are going to be not affecting you in a negative way anymore. So whatever it was that you felt with that person is going to be dying, but not necessarily them. If it's someone you don't like or someone you do like, whoever is dying, you want to pray for them because we love everyone. As the body of Christ, we love life. We want everyone to be alive and to live to a long age. and we want them to be saved. We want their knee to bow to Jesus Christ. We want their tongue to confess Jesus as Lord. We want to make our prayers go in that direction. And being emotional people, spiritually sensitive people are very emotional people, or they can be, and they can rely on, this is the error of their faith, if they are relying on their feelings as far as how their faith is led. So you can see where these symbols, there's counsel in these symbols. God is counseling us through, there's a lot of depth that we can get really good counseling from dreams, but we have to have understanding of how the dream is counseling us. So I hope this is helping you even from a counseling perspective. So another one is dreams of relatives. If you have dead relatives in your dreams, it's going to either tell you about something related to death in your family that is trying to get close to you, or it could be an ancestral covenant that's trying to re-covenant with you. Sometimes it has to do with showing something good that was passed on to you from a relative, that say a relative was praying for you and now you're getting the benefit of that and you have that in your life. Maybe it's just showing you that. Sometimes that's true. So it's not always horrible when you dream of a dead relative. Again, a lot of people are saying one way or the other, but it just depends on what God's trying to do. Don't limit God by getting one firm definition from one teacher that says, absolutely pray against this if you see a dead relative in a dream. If you have in your history a lot of cultism or occultism or the Catholic Church, and there's a lot of false religion in your family, dead relatives are probably a worse sign for you. If you have people that were really genuine Christians that you know were praying for you, it could just be revealing again if there's something that's showing you a benefit or something that you've inherited. It could be the blessing that you received from the prayer life of that person. Also could be a confirmation of that person being in heaven. I had someone ask me about a dream where they went into their grandmother's old house who had died, and they went into the house and they went into this door and they were trying to pull on this one door. It was like a bedroom or a closet door or something. And they were pulling, there's sort of a light coming through, and they kept pulling really hard, but they couldn't pull it. It was like something else was pulling from the outside. Well, finally the guy pulled it open and he was shocked to see this super, super bright light, and he ran for his life. And he said, what does this dream mean? Well, the meaning of the dream was he was getting too curious about the afterlife and the dead. And there was a spirit of mediumship in his family that someone in the family was interested in the dead, and he was starting to get it. He was in his 30s, I think, and it was starting to come. He was starting to get curious about the dead. And so this dream was showing him he was pulling on a door that he should not have been pulling on, and God was trying to pull it back and keep him from it. But through his willfulness, he pulled it open and he was exposed to a world that he's not supposed to be exposed to. And so he ran out and literally ran for his life. So when you hear those words, you can see where that spirit that was wanting to be in both realms, it can welcome death into that person, a spirit of death, because they're so interested in that other world. It was a warning to him. So I told him, this is warning you, and you have to get delivered from the spirit in the family because somebody was doing a sin that they did not repent for. And this is trying to get to you now. If you're a Christian, get delivered from this, repent for it, and not seek those things anymore. And so he really understood what that meant because he had such a strong emotion when he woke up. He was terrified when he woke up. So anyway, that's how a dream interpretation can really help you, can help your entire future. What if he didn't know that? Or what if he went to a dream interpreter that said, well, if you dream of a dead relative, it could just be confirming that they went to heaven and it's just a comfort for you. Well, no, there's a message in there that is a revelation for him, and he could have totally missed that. And so God's hand was on him to give him that dream and to lead him to the right interpreter so that he broke the cycle in his family and he did not get into that trap that the devil was trying to tear him down into. You're going to have to find the one that will tell you the truth. Of course, that's God and the Word of God. And then if you can find a teacher to speak into your life, to interpret your dreams correctly, that's God's will on your life. That's His favor. It's Him doing it. It's His hand on your life. It's His answer to your prayer. So when you find a good word also, and you get revelation through someone that's sharing something with you, just know it's an answer to your prayer, and it's God's watch over you, and it's His direction. And it's also showing you your obedience, that you are listening to Him, and you hearkening to him, he's able to open doors for you to lead you to more revelation and deeper relationship with him. So because of time, we're going to stop on the definitions of things and we'll do a part two. But for now, I hope you enjoyed this. I look forward to meeting with you again as we continue. God bless you.